How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. on Saturdays with Jim Valley, and Sundays with me. Happy Sunday, everybody. Happy Sunday to everybody listening on Sports Byline, listening online, watching online, listening as a podcast. The year's over. 2025 is a wrap. A couple days left in the year. It was something. 2025 was something. But in the world of professional wrestling, a lot happened. A ton. And last night, we got AEW's World's End, our final pay-per-view of the year. A lot of moving parts. They've set up 2026 in a very interesting way here. I really like the show. I didn't like a lot of the finishes, or some, I should say some of the endings, right? Some of the finishes. I didn't really love it, but it made sense. I thought this was a top-to-bottom great show. I actually stayed up the whole night to watch it. You guys will be surprised. It was a nighttime show. I put my big boy pants on, and I watched that thing till the very end. And guess what happened? I fell asleep a minute and a half before the ending, and I woke up to MJF celebrating as World Heavyweight Champion, so I had to rewind it. I thought it was great. I thought the show was fantastic. What we're going to do today on the show, we're going to break this down and really go into what this means for AEW going into the new year. I may have some news on a pay-per-view location, a pretty big pay-per-view. We also had some SmackDown. We'll touch if we have some time today on the show. Wrestle Kingdom 20 is next Sunday, January 4th. If we have time, we'll talk about that also, because some of the stuff that happened tonight is leading into that. We'll see the aftermath of this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We'll be back right after this. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Do me a favor. Hit me up on X at Andrew Zarian. You can follow me there. Everything that's happening in the world of pro wrestling. Anything I want to talk about, actually. I just put out an X post about my good friend Chauncey Hayden, formerly of the Howard Stern Show, Steppenwolf Magazine, editor-at-large of Steppenwolf Magazine, the legendary Steppenwolf Magazine here in New York. It was a gossip magazine. It was a Inquirer here on the East Coast. So Metropolis Knights, he ran that too. He wrote a book, another book, Rebels, Rockers, and Icons, 30 Years of Music Q&As. This is the definitive rock Q&A collection. If you're a Stern fan or you're a Chauncey fan, I don't know how many of you are there. he was a heel on that show. You can pick it up. I think it's everywhere that books are available on Amazon. But also, you know what's fun here, MG, my producer? I had no idea.
Yes,
sir. His dedication page is to me.
Oh,
he dedicated
dear.
This book to me and my family, which was a huge shock. I don't even know this man. I've never met him. It's not like I've gone on vacations and cruises with him.
No.
So congratulations to Chauncey. Definitely pick it up. He's wrote a series of these great interviews that he's had over the last 40 years of covering media. A lot of wrestlers in his sports book, too. A lot of wrestling interviews. He has an interview with Hogan and Triple H and a whole lot of people. So let's talk about this. World's End yesterday. You know, I kind of miss it. I miss the afternoon pay-per-views. I'm very used to this now, and I think they really should move them. But last night, I had all the energy in the world. I was feeling it, so I was watching most of it live, which was nice. 0 Hour began with Sisters of Sin against Hyann and Maya World. Are they signed? I think they are signed.
He addressed it in the media scrum. I don't think they are, but I think they will be soon.
Yeah. This was just to get everybody on, get everybody warmed up, put them out there. It was fine. I like Sisters of Sin. I think they're a good team together. Julia Hart's TikTok is out of control. If you follow her on TikTok, she needs to be stopped. It's out of control. We got Jetspeed and Jurassic Express defeating Josh Alexander and the Demand when Jungle Jack Perry pinned Ricochet. Moscow Dorado and Bandido, Rocky Romero and Mark Davis. This was actually interesting because Moscow Dorado, we spoke about this last week. He is incredible. And this is not the same Máscara Dorada. This is not Gran Metalik. This is a new Máscara Dorada. He's very young. He's 23 years old. This kid is incredible. You know, this is going to be an interesting story next couple of years and where he ends up and what he ends up doing. But the big story here for Zero Hour was really Eddie Kingston and Zach Gibson. You've seen this story be told over Ring of Honor, if you have not been following Ring of Honor. If you were at the New York tapings last weekend for Collision and Dynamite, you saw them do stuff here. And this was the payoff. But the bigger payoff here is after the match, they would attack Eddie. Eddie won, by the way. They would attack Eddie, and Ortiz made the save. So this is setting up a Grizzled Young Vets versus LAX.
Good to see him back. Good. I mean, he's low-key been one of my favorites for a long time. Yeah. And it looks like we're getting a version of this.
I got to tell you, though, I thought that gimmick had some, that tag team had some pull in this company. I thought they were onto something. With Ortiz, I thought that tag team was a Proud and Powerful.
Yeah.
Mm. I really like that tag team. I don't know. I mean, obviously, you know, personal issues and whatever else happens gets in the way. But I like this. This is good. And it's a nice keep Eddie healthy. Put him in a couple tags here. Keep him going. Amazing. The story of Eddie Kingston's career should be an inspiration to anybody in the world of professional wrestling. This guy was an indie legend, okay? New York City legend. Never went to WWE. He was in TNA. He was considering going back to his job. It was a pandemic. And he's one of the most beloved guys in AEW, in the history of that company. It's fantastic. I love a good story like that. We got the main show here. I guess we'll get through a couple of these before we take a break. But this was interesting. This was a very good show. But a couple wacky endings. The show began with Okada and Takeshita, Continental Classic Finals, semifinals. Well, the league finals. What are they? Blue League? Gold League?
It was the runner up of the gold versus the.
It was a runner,
blue,
yeah.
You believe,
yeah, okay.
Or vice versa, without looking it up again. But yeah.
So the story here really was they didn't give us. They did not give us an Okada Omega match here, okay? Obviously, it's being told that they're going to continue this. Whatever they're doing, they're continuing it. It was a fine match. The match was good. I'm very curious how Okada is going to come out. How is he going to be presented in Japan next weekend? Is he going to be Japan Okada? Is he going to be American Okada?
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, I think it's going to be kind of in between because he's got to do something dastardly, right? Now, I wonder if they're going to try to do something similar to what WWE did with Cena and have him have Okada cheat to win or something. I don't know. There's a lot of things they could do, but that's on that show.
I don't know. But the story here was Okada would find a screwdriver during the match. And he planted it on Takeshita's face, and then he got the pin.
And then Don Callis kind of blowing it off like he didn't know about it. It's like he didn't see it, even though it's right in front of him.
Yeah, he didn't know, but he didn't know. But it turns out it was planted by Kyle Fletcher.
Mm-hmm. For him to use later, which is plays into the next match. But
yeah.
What I found interesting, I felt like they didn't get out of gear four.
They did not get out of that gear, no, but that was by design. Mm-hmm. You know, everything that they've done, and I have to say, the story between Okada and Takeshita that this company has put on is probably the most organically interesting storyline that they've done. Everything has been fine. I really, and it's taken a long time to get here. You know, and here's the reality. Should that 10-star... you know, home run of a match be the opener on a pay-per-view where it's a tournament.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thought process here. Do you give it all there? No, you don't. You save that for the big match. I don't think it hurt. I don't think the match that they had hurt that whatever that next big match is that they have. I think this was fine. It kind of protected both talents.
It's going to build to it. Because now there's building, story there. Yeah. And there's story. And you can tell they don't like each other, even though Don Callis will tell you otherwise. But that makes it for every time they get together, it's going to be, oh, we got to watch this because there's going to be something else that's going to happen.
Well, also, there's another element in this, right? I said that this was a lose-lose match.
I know. You weren't happy about them putting this here.
I was not happy about them putting this here. I think that I said this last week. This is a lose-lose match for them, considering next weekend they have a win-win.
Mm-hmm.
Both of their guys, two of their top guys, are in two of the biggest matches in New Japan for this pay-per-view. So whatever story they are telling there will continue this, whether or not Okada beats Tanahashi or Takeshita loses to Yota Tsuji, which he should, really. He should be losing to Yota Tsuji. So then Okada comes out and says, you're a loser. I beat you. I beat Tanahashi. You couldn't beat Tsuji. I think that'll be the story there.
Also, there's a story of Okada getting older and had to cheat to keep up. I think,
and
that's
he had
story
to cheat
too.
To keep up, and that's also a big story. Mm-hmm. When we come back, I'm going to go into the John Moxley Kyle Fletcher match because this could be a match of the year, definitely a match of the year candidate. Depends on how you see things, but this match was incredible. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We'll be back right after this. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Had to take a little break there. But now we're back. John Moxley, Kyle Fletcher. Moxley defeats Kyle Fletcher to advance to the finals of the Continental Classic last night. This was unbelievable. Kyle Fletcher's great. I mean, I can't use any other word. He's so good. And he was good when we first saw him. When he first came in. I mean, in New Japan, he was great. You know, and everything he was doing, he was great. But this guy is dedicated to reinventing himself over the last year or so. And you just see him getting better and better. It's and butter, MG. That's what he calls it. He keeps getting better and butter. You know, he's really hanging in there with the big boys. And that match with John Moxley was so good. The story here really turned out that Fletcher went looking for that screwdriver that he had planted prior to the show beginning. And he couldn't find it because it wasn't there. Okada used it. He put it back in his trunks and he went back. So Okada is hurting everybody in that group, huh?
The plot thickens on the Don Callis family.
Yeah, Don Callis. Don has a lot of splaining to do.
I love how this show like branched out like so many little side stories.
There were a lot of side stories, and do not be mistaken that don't be mistaken about what's happening with Gabe Kidd in that group too. You know, don't be mistaken. They're planting seeds here for something. I thought this match was great. So pretty much what happened, Moxley wins with the Bulldog. Bulldog show?
That didn't come out right.
What is a Bulldog show? He went to a Bulldog show?
No.
What is this, the USA Network? He's watching the animal show? Preempted? There were so many near falls throughout the entire match on both sides. Moxley
wins. I lost track about 20.
Yeah. I lost track at some point. So, you know, this was interesting that they did these back-to-back to give these guys a little bit of a break before they go out, right before the main event. I thought what they would have done, which would have been very interesting, is have Okada come right out.
And do it, like, right after?
Right after. You have Okada come out. Him and Kyle have, like, this like, moment. Like, what the hell, dude? And Okada goes, sorry, I had to use it.
Well, here's where I would say what worked for them this time is they had Moxley give that baby-faced rah-rah cheer promo right before they went out. So they had time to film that.
By the way, my wife did not like that promo. She did not like that promo, but she loved the end promo. Where he sounded like Jake Roberts.
Yeah, but that was missing a tooth and working two matches.
Yeah, that does that it on you. And you know, he's not 20. He's not 20 anymore, wrestling in CZW. FTR, yeah. Bang Bang Gang. I didn't like this match, this street fight. It went a little too long. It was about 17 and some change. I think if they had kept it a little shorter by a couple minutes, it would have been a better match. I think they went a little long on this.
I felt like this didn't need the blood as much.
Even though that was
a street fight.
It's a street fight. They had to do it. It was a Chicago street fight. It's in the mean streets of Huffman Estates. where I will say I've had the best freaking brunch I've had, I mean, in recent memory. You were there. You came to that, right? You came to brunch with us.
Yes, we had brunch, and it was fantastic.
What was the name of that place?
We do this every time.
Every time. Honestly, it was the best brunch. And
all
it
I know
was
a lot
and
of
a
the wrestlers.
It was dinner and a show. It was brunch and a show. You had JR, right? JR was sitting there with, like, who was he with? Hobbs, I think? He was with Hobbs? Mm. You had,
I know Ortiz. I see Ortiz. And
Ortiz was
Darby
there.
Allen.
Darby came for a pickup. He got a bacon, egg, and cheese to go. It was the most bizarre thing because there were no other wrestling fans in there because this was like, it's like a little
Sunday
bit more,
morning.
It was
Sunday morning.
Early morning. It wasn't a cheaper place. Yeah. It wasn't inexpensive. So it was popping. The mean streets of Huffman Estates. And then I got stranded. We got stranded there after leaving All In. And two men, random men. I had to hike my pants up. I had to show my legs. A set of brothers came and picked us up. And I abandoned you. I said, hell with you, all of you. And I got in the car and I left. And then Tony from Observer had to come pick you guys up.
Shout out to Tony.
Shout out to Tony, leader. Babes of Wrath defeated Mercedes Moné and Athena to keep the TNA. Wow. The AEW Women's Tag Team titles when Nightingale pinned Moné. This is continuing the meltdown of Mercedes Moné. She was shocked after the pin.
Oh, so and then let's skip ahead real quick.
Yeah.
So after we cut back, after a few matches went by, they cut back to her with the, I believe it was with Renee backstage. And my God, that promo was actually one of her better promos she's ever did. And they've given up on bleeping out or editing the F-bombs, it sounds like. Cause
well, it was a pay-per-view.
There was a lot of them on this show.
It was a pay-per-view.
Yeah,
so.
Normally they haven't done those. Normally, even in the pay-per-views, they haven't had them, but I noticed a lot of it happened on the show. So
yeah, well, MJF dropped the F-bomb right at the end of the show too. He looked at the camera, and you know, he
there was another one too. I want to say Mox might have done it. I don't know, but yeah, there was.
Listen,
a few
it's a pay-per-view.
Them,
you know, it's a pay-per-view, and you're more than able to do that. Mm-hmm. And if you are doing it, you should save it for a pay-per-view. That's a special thing about a pay-per-view. You don't know what you're going to get.
But
maybe you get a couple curse words. Oh, my gosh.
I am interested in this Mercedes meltdown as it continues, as she unravels and see where it leads. It's ultimately going to lead to her becoming a babyface again, I would say.
Yeah, eventually it'll lead into that. Someone's going to take that TNT title off of her. And when they do that,
It could be this week.
It could be. How many titles does she have left?
She's down to 10. She just lost the British titles, which was two belts.
So, I mean, I think that should be the last one that she loses is that TNT title. And whoever beats her, it should be either a very big name to continue keeping that title relevant, or it's going to have to be someone that you make and you dedicate your time to. This shouldn't just be a regular win.
Right. You're building someone up.
You're building someone.
Yes.
Darby Allin, Gabe Kidd, they beat the crap out of each other. What'd you make of this
one? They did. This was another one. I understand that they treat Darby differently than anyone else, but again, I didn't like the blood as much, but because, I mean, this was just a regular match, and here they are both bloody as it can be in this whole thing. So,
well, I mean, that's their entire style. Both of them are brawlers, yeah. You know?
For what it was, I it was okay. It wasn't, I'm not going to say it was good.
Yeah.
But.
Need to have Gabe Kidd on this TV more. I don't know. I know that it's like a split thing that they got because he signed with New Japan, but he is, there's something there with him.
He's got something, yes.
He's got something.
I wonder if this is where he does join the Death Riders full time.
And then you start the turn? World.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. TNT champion Mark Briscoe, Orange Cassidy, Roderick Strong, and Timeless Tony Storm defeated the Death Riders, CMLL World Champion Claudio Castagnoli, Wheeler Yuta, Daniel Garcia, and Marina Shafir in a mixed nuts mayhem match.
What'd you think of that title?
It was something.
So I thought this match was a blast, dude. It was so much
party match. Tony Storm, it was fun.
Yeah, Tony Storm was so good in here that she had me rolling with the dancing with Orange Cassidy, and they were whipping each other into their opponents. I was like, okay, this could have been left off the show if you wanted to be more serious, but it kind of broke it up.
You needed the breakup. And I normally don't like that. I don't like when you break the flow up, but everything was so serious on the show. I mean, if you think about it, you had Okada and Takeshita. That's a huge story. You had Moxley defeating Kyle Fletcher in that great match. You had that FTR brawl.
And then the Darby match was...
Okay, you had the Babes of Wrath against Monet, and that's a big story that Mercedes is melting down. Everything is serious. You had that Gabe Kidd match, which he can't have a silly match ever.
Right.
This was kind of fun.
Yeah.
It kind of changed. Not to say that this is your break, but this is your emotional break match. That's what they did. You didn't have to think about this. You know, Marina and Orange are doing the kick, the hands in the pocket. You know, that's fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they did a good job of incorporating the ladies in this without making it silly. You know what I mean? So I did like that as far as what they did there. Because there was a spot where Roderick Strong chops his wife in the back.
Yeah.
And everybody, that was one of those ones they stared off and everybody knew it. It's like everybody knew they're married, but they don't say it on TV. They kind of hint at it, but
I thought it was good. I thought it was fun. You need to break that up. But, you know, the next three matches were very serious and were very good. We're going to go into. I thought this is the best that Jamie Hayter's looked in a very long time. And I think Chris and her had a hell of a match. But we're going to talk about all of this. I also want to get your thoughts on this show. Hit me up on X. Let me know if you like the show. At Andrew Zarian. When we come back, we're going to talk about the final three matches on the pay-per-view. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Let's pick up where we left off here. AEW World's End. The final three matches here of the show. You know, this match was interesting because I thought Jamie looked great. I thought Chris looked great. It took a little while to get there. They were not getting the response from the crowd, but again, long show. They needed to break up the momentum. But as this match was wrapping up, it really picked up. There was some gnarly spots in the match. Jamie Hayter did a missile dropkick from the top of the announce table on the outside onto Chris, and she rolled up like a pretzel. There was also, I don't know what that was. Was that like a blue thunder bomb from the second rope or the top rope?
I don't know what it was supposed to be, but that's what it kind of turned out to be.
I mean, it looked insane. It was a lot. It was a good match. That was that scary spot. It was a good match. I thought it really came into gear near the end, but it took a little bit to get there. With Chris Statlander defeating Jamie to retain the AEW World Women's Championship. Now, the big question, who's going to be the next opponent for Chris? That big opponent.
Yeah, that's part of it, because if you think about it, these two aren't as over as the people in the tag matches before they went on before them. In my opinion, I mean, some people will argue me on that, and that's fine.
Are you talking about the Monet and Athena match?
between the Monet and then Toni Storm, all your women's stars were in other matches. And these two are kind of just there, but they're picking up steam and they're truly trying to build Chris as a world-beating champion. And
they both suffered from the same terrible situation where they got the crowd got really into them and then they got hurt.
Yeah.
You know, before Jamie went away, she was really getting hot.
I think the one they're going to build next is Tekla. I think that's
Tekla,
who's
coming that's
up
another
next.
One. Yeah. Yeah, that's another one. Second main event, I guess. Double main event, right? John Moxley, Okada, Continental Classic. What did you make of this match? I thought this was great. I thought this was a really good match.
Oh, this was such a good story, and you could see it as it was going. So first of all, Moxley was getting cheered just about the entire match, and Okada is coming off as such an SOB heel.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so fun. American Okada is my favorite.
I know, he's incredible. I thought this was very interesting because this has been a 3-week turn for John Moxley to turn babyface.
Mm-hmm. And they're doing it slowly. And then I thought, first of all, I didn't think he was going to win.
I didn't think he was going to win. I will say I knew the card. Okay, I kind of teased it last week. I knew how this was going to go, but if I'm going based on my personal gut, I would have thought that they would have somehow ended up. Well, they couldn't because they were on the same side. I don't know. I thought that the big story here would have been Okada and Takeshita, which it still was. Now, I have a question for all of you. John Moxley defeated Okada. Okada's no longer the unified champion.
Oh, dear. Here we go.
I went on this rant in the boys' dirty group chat last night at around 11:30 at night, and nobody was giving me the answers that I wanted. Nobody's giving me the answer I wanted from this. Okada's no longer the unified champion, correct? He's also not the continental champion, correct?
Correct. John Moxley.
He is the international champion. He's international champion. Yes.
Correct.
John Moxley is the continental champion. Yes?
Correct.
Yes. Ricochet is the national champion, correct?
Correct.
Okay. If John Moxley defeats Ricochet and is the national champion, or if Okada defeats Ricochet for the national title, do they become a unified champion? What titles are required to create the unified title? How about the world title? If John Moxley wins the world title and he's the continental champion, is he the unified champion?
I mean, it's a valid point.
You cannot merge. You cannot merge the world title with any other title.
But here's the best part, Andrew, is it's all scripted. It's all
I need to
do
know
whatever
the
they want.
Answers here. You don't think I need to know the answer here? This is the big question that everybody's dying to know. So,
guys, we spent 2 hours on this last
night. I was just ranting and raving about it. John Moxley, Continental Champion. It took them a lot to get here. They got here. Okada lost to John Moxley. Death Riders come in the ring. He cuts a big promo in the end. He sounded exactly like Jake the Snake Roberts. He had this gravelly voice. He lost a tooth. He's exhausted. What did you make? Did you like this match?
I did. I loved it. I loved the come from behind babyface. I mean, the story of the match was his knee, right? Or his ankle.
Yeah.
He worked his ankle the entire tournament, and now he's barely standing. And somehow he figured it out and got the win. And man, you can tell there's a turn coming, and and you could almost see everyone stewing behind him, and I'm like, are they going to turn now?
Well, remember, everybody else lost except for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's going to be some, you know, when Pac wasn't on the show, that was another thing. Well, all the people that were omitted from this show, no Bucks, no Omega, So
yeah,
there was a lot of people off, and it still turned out really good. So I really enjoyed this match, and I'm curious to see when that or how long they're gonna linger it out and tease us on that turn.
Yeah. But okay, I'm curious about this. What do they do here? Maybe he challenges Ricochet. Maybe he does merge the titles. Maybe he does become unified. Maybe he beats Okada again for the international to merge the titles.
That'd make you happy.
Yeah, I want less titles. I don't need more.
As long as they're using them to finish
the triad of the apocalypse. What happens if you merge all three? National, international, and continental. What happens then?
My brain hurts.
Are you then the universal? Oh my gosh, they're gonna have their own universal title. What happens then if you win all four? The triad of the apocalypse, the depths of hell, it starts breaking apart. Vecna comes out.
Oh dear.
Oh no, that's the wrong company. That's the wrong company doing a Stranger Things crossover 5 days after the show's over.
Oh,
so,
dear.
That'll be something. Main event, MJF, Samoa Joe, Swerve Strickland, Hangman Page. So, a couple of weeks ago, I call this my information dump that I received. I received a couple things here. Three of them have happened. There's still two I'm waiting on, but essentially, MJF, it was actually a bad kept secret, but MJF came back last week, 2 weeks ago, on their international show, showed up at that. He wrestled on Christmas on 34th Street, what was it, Massacre on 30, whatever they called it, at the Hammerstein Ballroom. Samoa Joe, Swerve, Hangman, MJF. MJF defeats Swerve and Samoa Joe and Hangman to win the AEW Men's World Title, second time champion, under 30. You know, they did a good job at protecting everybody here. They protected Hangman. They protected Swerve. MJF got a cheap win at the end, right? He came in and he stole the win from Hangman and Swerve. Beat Samoa Joe. There was a reason for this. The reason I think it's going to be, the program is going to be Hangman and MJF moving in. And you also have Swerve and MJF. MJF has never pinned Hangman, never defeated him on pay-per-view. I believe so. I believe that's what it is. So they're telling the story here. What did you think of this main event?
I knew about 4 minutes in, I goes, oh my gosh, the way MJF is wrestling, he's gonna dip and duck and be out of the way. And then I goes, yep, he's winning the title. Yep. I knew it right then. I goes, yeah. the way they're building this matchup, he's gonna sneak at the end and get a cheap win, as he should, as his character should. And now we're gonna get this obnoxious MJF every week. So, which I think is good, because he is by far the best talking heel in wrestling right now.
I have to tell you, dude, I've seen him. First time I saw him wrestle was 2000 and either 17 or 18. 17. No, I'm sorry. I think it was, could have been 16. He had just started. I was in Deer Park, Long Island. I was doing color commentary on an indie show there that my friend had put on. And I saw him come out, and I go, oh my God, this kid is, who is he? That was the first thing I thought. I'm like, who is he? He's incredible. And like, you know, sometimes you see someone and you know this guy's going to be somebody big. And he is. He is one of the biggest names in the sport right now. And I thought he did a great job. I think this is positive for them. Great way to end the year. I think having the title on Max, you know, Samoa Joe was an in-between again, unfortunately, but he's such a good player in that role. He did not have the title for too long. But this set up whatever is coming between Swerve, Hangman, and MJF going forward. And whoever else you're putting in there. But I will tell you, I mean, Kenny having another run here would make a lot of sense. Him to beat MJF for the title. Or Hangman and Kenny.
A lot of fun.
You know, there's a lot that they could do here. And Max is so, you know, he has such a deep catalog of ways to go about. I'm curious where they go in the next year, because this is going to be the big story here. During the media scrum, Khan thought that the Christmas Collision was maybe their best collision ever. I thought it was a fantastic show. I thought the Christmas Collision was better than the Dynamite, and I went to the Dynamite. Renee asked Tony at one point if he knows any good dentists, referring to John Moxley spitting out his tooth.
I took that as a reference to Britt Baker.
Oh,
like a side, hey, where is she type thing.
You know what? That's great. I would have picked that up too if it wasn't, you know, the sun wasn't coming up. Khan continued to push AEW's achievements in this year's Sports Illustrated Awards. He did a great interview with my very good friend, John Alba. If you guys have not checked it out, definitely go check out the interview John Alba did with Tony Khan. A lot of good stuff there. He brought up his plans for the future, primarily in 2027, when the company would need to peak before the next TV deal. Khan greatly talked about his plans for the new year. You know, he was saying that, you know, he has great plans for this year. It was actually like a little bit of a summary of, you know, what he's planning on doing and what he did this year and where they are. When we come back, we'll touch on a couple more things. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline, final segment of the show. So Khan mentioned a couple things like Adam Cole, no update on his status. This was on the post show. Somebody asked him, he was asked if he was surprised that Jon Moxley got cheered in the way he did. He said no, because he's one of the greatest wrestlers ever, which he really believes that. He genuinely is a huge fan of Jon Moxley. We also have Wrestle Kingdom 20. Sunday, early morning for us here. What time? 2 o'clock in the morning it goes on? Gotta check the time. But here are the top matches here, since we got a couple minutes. Tanahashi retirement match. Hiroshi Tanahashi against Okada in his retirement match. Winner take all match. IWGP World Heavyweight Champion Takeshita against Yota Tsuji, which is the IWGP Global Heavyweight Champion. So I guess they're merging those titles.
And they're merging the women's titles. Women's. The New Japan Strong Champion and the World.
Yeah, the Strong title. Yeah, the Strong title and the other one. Well, they don't need the Strong title anymore. They really should merge those. You have a Never Open Weight Championship, Evil against Aaron Wolf. This is a jam-packed card. I'm looking forward to it. This will be a fun show next week. I will not be here. I think Josh will be here. I have to reach out to him. I will not be here next week. But Josh will have this covered, I assume, hopefully, probably. But I'm looking forward to this. It's a great show. I thought last night's show was fantastic. Also, United States Championship changed hands. Carmelo Hayes defeated Ilya Dragunov to win the title on SmackDown. If you haven't seen it, definitely go check it out. I was very surprised
by this.
Very good match, and very surprising.
Match of the weekend until yesterday.
I would say it was the best match of the weekend until the pay-per-view last night. Yes. One day. They had a day. Guys, that's it for this week. We'll see you all next time. Wrestling Observer Live. Take care.